Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Last night, we were able to take in the president, President Biden's farewell speech to the nation. And here's one of the things that he had to deliver to the American people.
You know, it will take time to feel the full impact of all we've done together. But the seeds are planted, and they'll grow and they'll bloom for decades to come. At home, we've created nearly 17 million new jobs, more than any other single administration, a single term. More people have health care than ever before. And overseas, we've strengthened NATO. Ukraine is still free. And we've pulled ahead of our competition with China. And so much more. I'm so proud of how much we've accomplished together for the American people.
You're becoming like my most stable relationship.
Enough said.
Well, that was part of the speech last night, Tyrus, from President Biden. 4 days left until we have President Trump once again. What was your reaction to his message? It didn't really breed joy, I don't think, when I sat there and listened to it.
Oh, what country was he talking about? China? He wasn't talking about us. Like, yeah. He did a quarter of the things that he supposedly claimed he did. Well, he's got no clue. Dementia doesn't come with awareness. So he was just it was all junk, garbage. Somebody wrote it for him again. The same people who did all these executive orders this last week and did the pardons for him. It's been a horrible 4 years. They know it. That's the reason why he was out. It was kicked out. They didn't even kick him out because he wasn't fit to do the job. They kicked him out because he embarrassed them on the debate stage. So again, it's just more of they don't get it. It was his last. It was terrible. He threatened. He said something about oligarchs. I was surprised he could even spit that word out at this point. I think I watched maybe 5 minutes of it, and I think I tweeted or X'd or whatever. I said turn it off. And it's much to do about nothing. He should have been apologizing to the American people for not being fit to serve. He should have been apologizing for running stuff that he did not discuss during his campaign, not being able to be strong enough for the job. He is the worst. He will be the worst president in the history of this country by far. You can't compare him to Carter because Carter at least was tried to make corrections. He saw things when things weren't working out. At one point, he fired half his cabinet. He saw inflation was hurting America. He tried to make changes. He generally cared about the American people. And although his term didn't go great, it wasn't for lack of trying. He still has the arrogance. He sat there with a straight face earlier in the day and tried to take credit for the hostage negotiations. He basically left Israel out to dry, wouldn't openly support him. And it wasn't until President Trump made the made the statement that if it's not done, it's going to be hell to pay. That's what moved it. And he couldn't even give credit where credit is due. And that's basically why this administration is gone. JPK had the audacity to cry. You lied to the American people for 3.5 years. I think she's the one person that will not get a job. I don't even think MSNBC will be able to put her on TV.
Yeah.
So I think it's glad it's over. He was a horrible president. He was a liar to the end. Even with his withering skill set, usually you are gifted a little bit of clarity and honesty, and he couldn't go down. So his entire political campaign, his entire career, whether it was 50 years, was just of dishonesty, corruption. The pardon to his blanket pardon to his son pretty much says it all. Mm. So good riddance. He won't run again. And hopefully the American people will be a little wiser and smarter, especially what's going on in New Orleans and California and Chicago and New York. We'll be a little smarter and stop voting for a donkey and start or an R and start voting for people who are qualified to do the job.
Yeah.
Because Biden was grossly unqualified and unfit to serve.
Well, you know that voice. That's Tyrus speaking with us. He's a regular on Gutfeld, Fox News contributor. You need to check out his book, Enough Said, which is available right now. Tyrus, I turned it on and I felt professionally obligated to watch it. Probably something to talk about. I was bored. I was not inspired. I didn't believe him, much like you. I watched Dana Perino react afterwards. She said, you know Dana well. She was like, I'm trying to be nice and Dana can't even find anything to be nice about. Flash forward 4 more days from now, Donald Trump inaugurated, swears the oath of office. How are you feeling about our country in the midst of everything that you just described with the current administration about what's going to happen here four days from now?
I'm hopeful. I'm also not oblivious to the level of opposition. We saw that with the confirmation hearing, especially Pete Hegseth. We saw there was no arguments of policies. It was all woke personal attacks. I thought it was funny. A lot of the average of senator, I think approval rating is 11%. So I thought it was real rich when they were on their moral high ground going after people. Loved to get a look in your glass house. Sirs and ma'am, like it was laughable. Again, I hope if anything has been learned in these last 4 years, you do not vote on someone because they claim to be in your party. You need to vote for people that can do the job, because you know, just because it's not your pick, I look forward to see some policy debates or something, but they all came down to the same thing, you know, the same playbook. Well, what if President Trump says do something illegal? Are you going to do it? We literally watched you do nothing while there was illegal actions going on in the White House. People were making policy decisions who are not elected officials. That is a fact. Joe Biden could not get past reading a card. He could not meet with world officials. He was hidden from everyone. They were so lost. They didn't know when a guy was out sick for 4 days with cancer. So, like, it's laughable to see them. I think Adam Schiff is probably the funniest because he was trying to get an inside take to see if she was going to go after him for January 6th. I think that was probably the funniest thing I've seen. But all in all, it's been there's a word for it, blank show. And I'm glad the show's over. And hopefully the fact that he has assembled such a wide variety of focused people that cannot be bought, you will see a lot of things done, but do not be surprised with the MSNBCs and the CNNs and the woke DNC are going to do everything they can to try to go back to claiming, you know, racist this and that and stuff. But I think the American people have closed a chapter on that book. Their ratings would indicate that. But, you know, our job is going to be to hold them accountable and call balls and strikes. And if they're pitching a no-hitter, I'm all for it. But if there's some stuff starts to sway, it's the whole point as voters to speak on it. And I hope everyone will not have blinders on. President Trump, I believe, was going to do a great job. But if he's not doing what needs to be done, we need to be right there calling it like it is.
Tyrus, before we let you go, every time the presidency changes hands, it's a dramatic time. It's a important time. Do you feel like this moment, though, is historically different with Donald Trump coming back? Is this different than other transitions we've seen?
Yeah, because Joe was so inept. President Trump has been being presidential since the electoral votes were counted. So it's this inauguration is just more of a exclamation point or a bow on the box, because he's been making policies. He negotiated, he got the hostages home. The fact that Biden tried to say this was my plan since May, like the only thing that comes to me, the politest word I can say is moron. He's been meeting with people, meeting with foreign leaders. You can tell Israel's reaction changed. Putin changed. Ukraine changed. They weren't looking for Biden for answers in these final weeks. The vice president literally just took the rest of the time off. Her words of encouragement to California were basically smoke them if you got them. It was just laughable, or drink them if there's a bottle of wine around. So that was the administration. They've been, and they weren't doing anything anyways. It was the people, the little, it'll be interesting to see if that is looked into, because the unelected officials who are running the country, they did the best they could to try to sabotage President Trump, but their lack of understanding of how executive orders work. So there'll be a great deal of wasted energy undoing the moronic things they did the last couple weeks, but they will get undone.
Tyrus, we love speaking with you, and we're looking forward to the year ahead of us. There's going to be a lot to talk about, and we always love how you bring just the straight thoughts and opinions that you have unfiltered by other people. People love it. Everybody compliments the show on being able to talk to you, so I just want to make sure you know how grateful we are for you.
All right. Thank you very much. Y'all have a good day.
You as well. Talk to you soon. Tyrus, regular on Gutfeld, Fox News contributor, host of Maintaining with Tyrus on OutKick. Make sure you follow him on X at Planet Tyrus. Let's take a quick break. When we come back in, I'm going to welcome Libby and Amy back to the studio. They've been with us a few times before. They're with the Lutheran Elementary School Association. And I was talking about this a little bit earlier in the show, but they're honoring me with the opportunity to have a scholarship in my name, but I got to raise the funds for it. And I am hoping to raise a whopping $15,000. It's kind of a magic number. And I'm hoping you'll help me get there. I'm hoping. Let's learn more about this scholarship. We're going to be featuring in the last week of January here. We're going to do some fun things along with that, too. If you're familiar with National Lutheran Schools Week, we're going to have some fun on the show with it. Let's find out the details with Libby and Amy when we come back.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Two friends in the studio with me right now, and I'm excited to bring Libby Guberle and Amy Colvin back in with us. They are from the Lutheran Elementary School Association, a great partner with us here on the Annie Fry Show. I'm a huge fan of Lutheran education. I'm very privileged to be able to be a messenger for them. As somebody who graduated from Lutheran schools myself here in the St. Louis area, my children attend Lutheran schools here in the Metro East. You guys are, you ladies, I should say, are part of how this happens across the area to make sure that people have access to these Lutheran schools. I'll start with you, Libby. Talk to me a little bit about the Lutheran school environment in the St. Louis area, how far reaching it is, and the atmosphere at these schools.
Yes, we're really excited to be here. We have about 32 elementary schools, another four high schools in the St. Louis metro regional area. So we have close to, 10,000 kids in the system. And so we're really excited. They're all over the place and pretty far out into Illinois, as most people are surprised, and then out in St. Charles and a little bit down into Jeffco. So pretty far reaching. You could probably find one if you can, pretty within 15 minutes of your house.
Yeah. And the education that you get at a Lutheran school, there is nothing sacrificed when you go to a Lutheran school. It's a top-notch education. There are a lot of accommodations that are made as well at Lutheran schools. When you boast about the Lutheran education system, what do you like the people to know?
Well, I think that the smaller classrooms are always a plus, and the idea that there are a lot of people that are in the Lutheran school, and you'll find this in Catholics as well, a lot of people that are not necessarily Lutheran that go to Lutheran schools.
Yes.
More than half of our kids are outside the Lutheran school system. Their parents have them there because they were looking for something traditional sometimes, something that was where they had a good parent-teacher relationship, principal relationship, and where it was more of a village or a community.
Yeah, that's absolutely what I've experienced and wanted to replicate for my children. I mean, I have my money where my mouth is. I pay the tuition to send my children to a Lutheran school. I'm paying Illinois property taxes, where 90% of it does go to the public school system. My husband teaches in the public school system, so I do value education in all of these different places. But for our children, it's a Lutheran school, and we would do everything we could to make sure that was possible for our children to be able to attend that. I have a child at a Lutheran high school. I have two children in a Lutheran grade school, and one coming up soon in early childhood in the Lutheran school system. Amy, when people are looking into this as an alternative, I say this a lot when I'm talking in my endorsements about Lutheran Elementary School Association, that I think that people don't want to see things. You don't go into the store and shop for things when you can't afford the things that are in there. You don't go look. But if you never actually look behind the curtain of a Lutheran education, you'll never realize that it's much more affordable for families than people think it is. And I've heard this many times from people who attend school with my children or who I've gotten to know personally, and they're like, I just wish I would have looked sooner.
Absolutely. I think that's the thing, is that people think it's a barrier. And when my children were in school, before I considered Lutheran school, I thought it was a barrier too. You could never afford private education. That we were public education people. And when I found out how affordable it was and how accessible it was and some of the absolute opportunities to get support and discounts, and when you get the second child, how that came along too, it made that accessible for my family. And one of the biggest things that my family was able to take advantage of was a Lutheran Elementary School Association tuition assistance. We got a scholarship when our second child, I went to work part-time, and our second child went into the system, so our ratio of income to the cost of the school went up, and so we were able to qualify, and it really just, it made the difference. It took off the edge so that we could still afford it. We still had a skin in the game.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't want it to be free, but we needed it to be within our budget.
Yeah.
And that's the important thing, is that you can get that quality education. You can get the one-on-one. You can get the Christian education. And, you know, that's the thing. You know, we're one of those people that weren't Lutheran. We're United Methodist. And when I said, oh, I don't know, should I do this? Because it's a different denomination. And one of my best friends said to me, Amy, they teach you the Bible.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's important. I like that. So, you know, there was nothing wrong with that happening. And my children today are so much more knowledgeable of the Bible than most of their peers because of the time they spent in Lutheran school. And I think that's so important to have that, you know, roadmap for your life.
Yep. Katie says, is watching us on our YouTube channel right now. She said, we needed a Christian education for our kids, and the closest to our house was a Lutheran school. We are incredibly grateful for Lutheran education. And then she had a follow-up comment, and we aren't Lutheran. So, yes, Katie, thank you for that comment right there. I was telling you ladies off air a little bit, I was going to read for you a comment from a listener who reached out to me personally. It said, Annie, I saw you are raising money for Lutheran school education. How does one qualify for this? I'm trying to get my son into a Lutheran school, and I'm looking for aid specifically if anyone has anything available for single parents or for adopted children. Would this be something I could apply for? Libby, talk to me a little bit about those opportunities. We're going to get to how I need my audience to back me up and all the bragging I've been doing about you. I want to talk about our scholarship that we're starting here in a minute, but let's also talk about the purpose of the scholarship, why we are going to do this, and why I'm hoping to raise a blockbuster amount of money to make this possible for area kids. This is a woman who I know personally. She's adopted children into her life. She's an amazing individual, and she wants to make sure this is a possibility for her children.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you have a school that you're interested in, it sounds like she is. The principal will work with you. The administration, the admissions directors will work with you on scholarship funding. So we have a personal relationship with each one of our schools. We talk to them on a regular basis. They'll come to us with parents. They will give the parents the opportunities or show them the software. You know, we use the FACS system, which is what a lot of universities use, high schools use for scholarship or for financial aid needs. And so we use a very basic system that everybody's using to help for families to apply. And so I would always recommend you go to your school first, talk to your principal, your admissions people, and they will help you get as much help as you can.
So I think that the key that if you're listening right now and you're thinking about this for your child or for your grandchild, the conversation needs to happen. You need to go in and see, like I was saying at the beginning when I was going to ask Amy that question, if you haven't walked into the store because you're sure that you can't afford it, I'm here to tell you that you need to walk into the store, talk to somebody, and like we're hearing from Libby, reach out to an administrator. They want you in that school. They want these children in their classrooms. They want to educate them. They want to help them walk in their faith. And this is an investment that, you know, I look at this, I'm just speaking personally as a parent, the faith education and the daily reminder that it is of the utmost priority, more than math and English and writing and all of those things, is the faith walk. When my children are young and impressionable and the world is after them, when I put them in a Lutheran school, I know that they are guided by the principles that could supersede every single academic thing that they would ever learn in life. And that is an investment that you can't make after they're grown. So that is why it's so personal and so important for me, for my family, that I serve my kids in a way to make sure that they're in a Lutheran school, and why I'm so happy to partner with the Lutheran Elementary School Association, because they are out there working their tails off. It's their literal job to make sure this opportunity is available for your child or your grandchild. Now, let's get to the business of the matter and talk about how I am taking an extra step here to hopefully raise an amount of money that can extend this opportunity to maybe even people who are here within our listening audience. Libby, I'm going to let you just kind of set up the financials of it. I don't want to screw it up, but we have a huge opportunity here through my show specifically to establish a new scholarship. What can you tell us?
Well, there's two ways that we do scholarships, and we have people who donate to us every year. $50, $1,000, $2,500, whatever it is, and they want us to support scholarships with that. We also have something called an endowment, and we have a number of people. We're probably over 30 people or families right now who have endowed a scholarship with an organization called Lutheran Legacy Foundation, and that scholarship then earns interest every year. And this is a legacy for your family. It's a legacy in that this scholarship will last forever. And we spend the interest from that fund every year and spend that on scholarship support. And so what we're trying to do right now with Annie and her group is to create a scholarship fund that will then last forever and spin out and support scholarships as long as we're around.
So in order to establish this Annie Freyshow Scholarship, what are we looking to do specifically?
Specifically, scholarships start at $25,000 to start an endowment. However, if we can raise $15,000, I've got a matching donor, two matching donors that will give us the other 10. And so if we can get to the 15, then we can get the 10 from matching sponsors.
So Brad and Ryan, we want to get to 15. That's our goal. And I think,
okay.
I mean, we have when we did the Ruler Foods food drive for the St. Louis Area Food Bank, we had $7,000 walked in and handed to us.
Yeah, that was walk-in cash. So...
Please.
I'm
did you guys give a voucher on the way out of the parking lot?
the St. Louis Area Food Bank was there and taking care of all of that as it was happening.
Glory to God,
but
man.
I mean, the generosity of you listening right now and this, I the thing I'm so proud of with this show and what we've established is a very strong community of not just like-minded people, but people we have similar interests. Maybe we differ from time to time on how we think that those interests could be best served, but the conversation is always open. And I know that you have a heart to give, and I stand firmly by my my endorsement of this as something you absolutely should consider for your children, for your grandchildren, that I believe in this wholeheartedly. If you listen before, I had an official partnership with the Lutheran schools. I was talking about Lutheran schools all the time. So I've been talking about, Brad and Ryan are affirmatively agreeing that is a regular occurrence on the show. Can you talk to me a little bit about, were you going to talk about the match that was available, or what you want people to do?
Let me mention that. Mm-hmm. That's the match that's available, is that we have a private donor who'll do $5,000, and our Lutheran Legacy Foundation will do $5,000. So that makes that $15,000 really accessible for a lot of people, and an attainable number. And, you know, you've talked about your partnership. We're so thankful for your partnership, and we're so thankful for your sincerity, Annie. And I think this is a great opportunity for all the people that love you. There's such a great audience out there for you to honor that, what you do, the work that you do both in the political realm and what you do with the show and with what you do for Lutheran School. So this is a great opportunity for people to honor you, but to honor the opportunity for private education and accessible private education, whether they can take advantage of it right now or not.
What about the people who love Ryan?
That'd be great too.
Oh, I didn't know that was supposed to be funny. I thought we were just having a conversation.
Both of them.
Oh, I see. It's a joke. No, I really like talking about this because my wife teaches at a private Christian school.
Yeah.
My kids go there too. This is something we talk about kind of off air at just as much as on air, because we're all kind
of our life.
Yeah, this is life. Yeah. And I just am glad that we have this specific goal now. Okay, so this is like the launch of this goal.
Yes.
But in the process of talking about this goal and hopefully reaching this goal, my hope is that a lot of people hear it, and even if they're not specifically attached to this, hopefully you will be, but even if you're not, you start to think about the fact that this is something you could be doing. You know, there is kind of a gap there. There's a chasm between some people who think, oh, that's for other people. I could never really get my kids into a Lutheran school or a Christian school. I could never afford that, whatever it may be. Or I could never make that work with my schedule even, because, you know, it's different.
No buses.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And just the conversation about it, to me, is big. And hopefully the conversation also leads to a very specific goal that we now have being met too.
One of the coolest things about this scholarship is the opportunity to have a lasting impact. Now, if I understand this right, we'll set up this scholarship, and if you out there, you're listening and you donate to this scholarship, it's an ongoing thing. The scholarship will keep going because it runs off the interest of the original nest egg or whatever you want to call it. So what you have as a listener, as a potential donor to this scholarship, is the opportunity not just to affect one child's life, but many child's lives in perpetuity through a one-time donation?
One-time donation or multiple.
Multiple we'll repeating donations.
Yeah. They'll take it if you want to just keep
so,
it going.
Yeah, that's the important thing to note. One, if I could note that, you can continue to donate after to the endowment. It's not closed once we reach that $15,000. And the more that it has in the endowment, the more interest it comes off and goes into our fund. We give away over $500,000 each academic year in scholarships to over nearly 600 students in the system. So, but which is wonderful and a great number when you hear things like million, but there are about 400 applications that we can't consider every year because our funds run out. So the more that we can have these established scholarships that do the perpetuity, that go on, the more that we can continue to try to honor those folks that are still wanting to be and have access to education.
It's an opportunity to literally change the path of a student's life.
You bet.
You know, we talked a little bit about some of these college football players. We had Lou Holtz on yesterday, and these college football players, and they were talking about their faith and all this other stuff. But a lot of these kids went to private schools, and the opportunity to go from where they were in their school system into a private school system that, A, directed them toward God and toward Christ is phenomenal, but B, changes their life situation so that they could go on and have a great education and a successful life, and then maybe pass that success on to the next generation after them. The opportunity to be part of something that amazing to me is worth the price of admission. So, you know, it's like whatever you can do would be awesome.
One of my favorites is Cody Schrader. He graduated from Lutheran South. I don't know if you guys know about him. He graduated a few years ago, but he goes to Mizzou. He went to Truman, transferred to Mizzou, was up for the Heisman last year. Now he's playing for the Rams. He's suited up. Mm-hmm. And if you look at his social media, the first thing he does is give glory to God in everything that he does. His faith is what he testifies. If he has success, he talks about it as in glory to God. God gave me my gifts. And that is his Lutheran education out in everything that he does. And so we love Cody. And we want his, we love him because he's a great grad, but we love him because he talks about God in everything that he does.
Mm-hmm. Libby, we have a comment on here, and it was talking about the tax deductible ability with these donations if it's a 501c3 charity. Can you speak to that?
Yes, this is our 20th anniversary, just to remind everybody, and we've been celebrating that, but we are a 501c3, so all gifts to our organization are tax deductible. And we do send everybody a receipt or a tax letter.
That's amazing. That's good information to add here. Yeah. James adds a comment on here and says, why is education so expensive? And this is one of the things that kind of, just as somebody who pays attention to the wide world of public education and also Lutheran Elementary School Station, my property tax bill, so on and so forth. If you've ever looked up what the state pays cost to educate a student, the public funding cost to educate a student, and then you go to find out how much it costs for a, it's different with every school, right? Tuition is set independently by each individual school. The cost to educate a child in a Lutheran school, because oftentimes it's looked at as a ministry by the church that it is attached to. So the ministry of the church, they often subsidize, not always, but often subsidize the cost to educate a child. When you look at the tuition that you end up paying for a Lutheran education compared to what the state pays to educate each child, it'll knock you over.
Yeah, I do know, and I think it's different going to be between Illinois and Missouri. Mm-hmm. But I know that our schools are probably needing a little more education on how to increase their tuition rates, because they are very they're very ministry oriented, and many of our teachers are probably not making what they could be making elsewhere.
Yeah.
And that's part of their mission as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do know that a number of our schools are below what it costs for the state of Missouri, at least. I'm not sure what Illinois is right now.
Yeah, there's a huge difference there. And it speaks to the affordability of a Lutheran education when you're paying tuition to do that, but also the fact that it is a true ministry that is participated in by local churches, but also the Lutheran Elementary School Association through scholarships like we are trying to establish here to make that a possibility. The webpage is up right now. We're going to make a big push on this in the last week of January, where we're really going to try to meet our goal. But I would absolutely love the opportunity to get a really good head start before we get to that week so we can hit that 15,000. It's a huge number. I know that I'm asking a ton here from our audience, but if I see all of you out and about when we do events and when I run into you, I hear from so many of you who have been touched over the course of your lives as a student at a Lutheran school, as a parent who remembers what it was like to schlep all over the place for grade school basketball games and competing at music contests with the Lutheran school that you attended, the drama that you participated in. There's so much to offer, and it's meant so much to so many of you. This is our opportunity to collectively give back and make this possibility for somebody who may not have considered it before because they didn't think it was accessible. So the website is up, right? LESASTL.org/Annie.
You are ready to go.
There's a donate button right there, and I would love for you to click it right now. If you would be so kind and so generous to do that.
Annie, what was that website again?
It was LESASTL.org/Annie. That's
okay.
The most helpful thing you've done today.
I was just wondering.
One more time, I'm hard of hearing.
Yeah.
ASASTL.org/Annie. Libby and Amy, is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up here? Make sure I hit every nook and cranny of this.
I think we've hit it all. We're just, again, so thankful for this partnership and thankful for your listeners who want to support this great opportunity and support private education and access. Thank you.
Thank you both for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course. And, you know, if you're a praying type, pray for the success of this, because that's going to help us as well. I'm humbled by the opportunity to do this, and I'm praying that we are able to come together and meet this expectation and raise $15,000 by the end of January. National Lutheran, I don't know if I've actually told you guys this yet, Ryan and Brad. National Lutheran Schools Week, it's the last full week of January, is that right?
That is right.
Correct.
In Lutheran schools, National Lutheran School Week, we have Spirit Days.
Every day.
You didn't tell me this.
This sounds like we're in for something.
Yeah. It's like you might have like your school color day might be the last day, and kids will paint their face and wear the school colors. There might be like career day. Dress up like what you wanted to be when you grow up.
Like a radio professional.
Well, they'd have to dress up.
I'm coming in like Batman.
Yeah, you just come in dressed like Ryan. You might have pajama day.
Yep.
You might have, what are some other ones? I'm trying to think of some other ones that you might like dress up like your favorite athlete or something.
I think it's like Hero Day. Mm-hmm. It depends on the school, you
know. Book Character Day.
Character Day. Yeah, there you go. So
Hero Day. You could dress up like Enrique Iglesias.
We could. That's, he sings. Or maybe he is your hero.
But he
I don't
could
know.
Be your hero.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that song.
We're doing National Lutheran Schools Week on the Annie Fry Show.
Oh, are we?
Yes, we are.
Oh, that's the news.
That's
huh?
the news.
We are doing it. We've been voluntold.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, okay. And if you haven't yet tuned into the Annie Fry YouTube channel, you might be able to view it, because we, depending on the day, we may not talk much about that particular part of the ensemble. But we will be celebrating it, and of course talking about the opportunity to make this scholarship a success. So Libby, Amy, thank you.
Thank you, Annie.
We're grateful for you. We're grateful for the Lutheran schools in the area. Certainly am grateful for the Lutheran education my children are able to partake in. And we're hoping for a great success. All good?
All good.
All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, a notable individual in sports and entertainment has passed today. We're going to talk a little bit about that with Ethan in just a minute. Don't go away. I'm finding ways
to manipulate. Ball four, ball eight, low, and Vaughn has walked the bases loaded on 12 straight pitches.
So there's Bob Uecker, of course, in the movie Major League. That's Major League One, right? I don't know.
Yes.
I've seen two, but I don't think I know the difference.
A lot of people argue that two, at minimum, is just as good as one, if not better. I mean, it is really funny.
Is two the last one?
They had other ones after that, but it started to get into different actors. One and two are definitely kind of like the Sandlot, where it's just...
In the Home Alone movies.
Yes, exactly.
We were talking, Ethan and I were talking about Bob Uecker before the show started, and have you seen, are you familiar with Major League movies?
No. I can't believe that I've never seen one, because they came out, I think, in the late 80s.
Sure.
When I was just old enough to get some of the jokes, but my parents were like, you probably shouldn't see these. And then I've never gone back and watched them.
Well, you did watch them. It was when St. Louis Rams were getting ready to leave St. Louis. It's the same plot. Okay. It's the same thing. But I said to Ethan that, Charlie Sheen is in that movie, but Bob Uecker pretty much steals the show.
Just
in the movies,
about.
Major League. Like, it's, if you're quoting things from Major League, you're probably quoting Bob Uecker.
I can't tell you how many times this summer, just jokingly, broadcasting summer collegiate baseball, there'd be a pitch that would miss it just a bit outside. I mean, that is...
If you're at a youth baseball game and that ball goes way outside, somebody is saying that line.
I mean, professional broadcasters will use that. I mean, that has become such a pinnacle. That line has become such a pinnacle part of baseball broadcast. I mean, and speaking of pinnacle, I mean, Bob Uecker was the pinnacle of baseball broadcasting. This is a, 90 years is a long life, but this is a huge loss for both the baseball community and the broadcasting community. I mean, you don't earn the nickname Mr. Baseball unless you are that much of an impactful part of the game, and a cool connection to St. Louis, because at one time he did wear the Cardinal uniform.
Yeah. As a player.
As a player, yes, specifically.
Fox News reports that Bob Uecker, a legendary baseball broadcaster for the Milwaukee Brewers and former player, has died. He was 90 years old. Uecker called games for the Brewers since 1971 and appeared in the 1989 movie Major League and the film's two sequels. A statement from the organization said, "Uke was the light of the Brewers, the soundtrack of our summers, the laughter in our hearts, and his passing is a profound loss. He was the heart and soul of Wisconsin and a dear friend. Bob loved people, his presence warmed every room, and he had a way of welcoming us all into his world as if we were lifelong friends." You know, when it comes to broadcasting, it's weird because Bob Uecker is doing a form, or was doing a form, of what we do here. It's broadcasting. It's being able to convey and tell a story about something that is current and relevant, and doing it over and over and over again. And it's interesting to think about, you know, my childhood or your childhood, especially when it comes to baseball. There is a familiarity and a personal relationship you end up building with these people who come into your home across your radio over the course of years, because you have a common interest in something, baseball, or a particular team with baseball, that you do feel like, you know, you lose a friend when Mike Shannon passed. People, when Jack Buck passed, people felt the same way. The relationship you build with these individuals, it's just from listening to their voice over the airwaves, it's a pretty profound thing.
And you can make an argument, you know, the Milwaukee Brewers organization has been around for a long time, and they've had some very successful players wear that Brewers uniform. You know, Robin Yount, Prince Fielder, I mean, Ryan Braun. They've had some very big names come through and
Mike
play
Matheny.
For them. Mike Matheny. Jim Edmonds. Yeah, everyone remembers him playing for the Brewers. But it says something when, arguably, the most known member of your organization is a broadcaster.
Yeah.
And without a doubt, Bob Uecker is the most memorable member of the Milwaukee Brewers organization. And I will say this, and the last couple of years, for those that don't know, I worked in the St. Louis Cardinals broadcasting booth, and it was such a cool thing to be able to be a part of such a legendary booth that's had so many big names come through. And being that the Brewers and the Cardinals are division foes, up until a couple of years ago, I mean, they were in town several times a year. And, you know, Mike Shannon, John Rooney, these guys became very good friends with the likes of Bob Uecker and these guys that come in town and you see several times a year. It was really cool. And unfortunately, I was never able to meet Mr. Uecker in his final years of broadcasting. He was only doing the home games. He wasn't traveling.
Yeah.
But hearing some of the stories about just the relationships and the moments that these guys had throughout the years, you know, my position in the broadcast booth was the booth assistant. And while it would have been really cool to work with Mike Shannon day in and day out, I am thankful that I was not having to go to the horse tracks and put in bets for him.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that I didn't have to go to the local instrument store and buy a tuba when Bob Uecker was in town so that he could play it. He had one of his booth assistants
we need a tuba.
Do that.
Where's Ethan?
That actually happened. And Bob Uecker was known as the broadcaster, the player that was big time with the tuba. In fact, there was even a time where he used a tuba to shag fly balls before a World Series game. You talk about all the things that go along with Bob Uecker and the tuba, you know, for baseball fans. They are very memorable.
Yeah.
There's very memorable moments of him playing that from the booth or, in this case, wearing a Cardinal uniform,
mm-hmm.
shagging fly balls before World Series games with it.
Well, he passed away at the age of 90, which is a life well lived. Uecker's family said in a statement that the broadcaster had battled a private battle with small cell lung cancer since 2023. A statement from his family: "He brought joy to countless listeners through his wit, charisma, and love for baseball, Milwaukee, and all of Wisconsin, creating a legacy that will forever be cherished. While his contributions to the game are noteworthy, it is his kindness, humility, and love for family and friends that we will hold closest to our hearts." When you think about that, and you see lots of people who have a very public status, if you can be talked about as being a kind and generous person, instead of just a bit outside or whatever, some of those very publicly known things about an individual. If that's what you're being talked about, your humility after 90 years of life, I think that is a pretty impressive model set for the rest of us to be able to look after. So Bob Uecker passed away at the age of 90. We'll be right back.